Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 11. The book of Acts, chapter 11. Let's turn to the book of Acts together now. The title of today's study is God's Plan for a Successful Church. God's Plan for a Successful Church. Like everything, God is a God of order. He likes everything done decently in order, does he not? And he has a plan. Amen. For how to have a successful church. And that's what we want to look at today on the Pastor's Study. Amen. Acts chapter 11, we're going to read down verses 19 through 30, and then we'll get right into our study. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which were in Jerusalem, and they set forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So we want to look today on the Pastor's Study, God's plan for a successful church. Now, a successful church is not necessarily a big church with hundreds or even thousands of people, folks, amen. The word successful means to achieve the desired goals, prosperous, flourishing, and progressing. The word church means a called out assembly. The local church is a called out assembly of saved, scripturally baptized believers who have covenanted themselves to carry out the commands of Christ. Now, the church at Antioch, which we just read about in our passage, had the biblical characteristics of a successful church. Today on the Pastor's Study, using the church at Antioch as our example, I want us together to examine the characteristics of a successful local New Testament church. And you're going to find out it doesn't necessarily mean having a large congregation or having the largest Sunday school in America or running the most school buses or whatever it may be. We're going to see something that may surprise you and may not. The first characteristic we want to look at is the success of any church depends upon the presence and power of Almighty God. Look with me in Acts again, chapter 11, and verse 21. Notice it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Man, my friend, is not the indispensable ingredient. God, amen, is the supreme necessity, amen. That's right. For a church to be successful, amen, God's presence and power must be on that work, amen. The hand of the Lord was on that work there in Antioch. In fact, Paul reminds us in his letter to the Corinthians, he wrote to them because they were full of division and strife, and they were following some Apollos, some Paul, some Christ, so forth and so on. And he told them this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verses 6 and 7. Paul says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." See, Paul didn't pull any punches. He was very plain. He says, it's God that gives the increase. Some of us water, some of us plant. But we're not anything. Amen. It's God. It's God that gives the increase. And you look at some of our churches today, and it looks like man is trying to give the increase through the flesh, through fleshly efforts. But the Word of God distinctly says that God is the one that gives the increase if we water and plant. So we see the first characteristic then for a successful church is the presence and power of God upon that church. The second characteristic of a successful church is the success of any church depends upon, amen, the presence and power of God and the Word of God, amen. The presence of the power of God, of the Word of God. Got to have the power. Got to have the preaching of the Word of God. Acts chapter 11, verse 19, we read, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." See, the church, the success of any church depends upon the preaching of the Word of God, because from the Word of God is power. Amen. When a church begins to leave off the preaching of God's Word, trouble's ahead. And of course, when I ever speak of the Word of God, amen, let there be no doubt, I mean the authorized version 1611 King James Bible, which is the preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant words of Almighty God. The preaching of the Word of God is of paramount importance in the Lord's church, amen. Nothing is to take the place, amen, of the preached Word of God. It is to have the preeminence in the service, amen, in the worship service. Not the music, amen, not the announcements, not church fellowships, amen. In a lot of churches today, the preaching of the Word of God is given the least amount of time. And between the music program, which includes the choir, special music, and different presentations, the preaching of the Word of God has taken a back seat. God commands us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word. See that? Preach the word. Preach it. Preach the word of God. Amen. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And why is it to have preeminence? Well, the word of God declares, amen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's how people are saved, by believing, by hearing the word. For then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. A person has to hear the word of God, amen, and has to believe it, amen. So it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's why it's so important, amen. There's no preaching of the word of God, or if the word of God has taken a back seat to everything else, amen, you're not going to see folks getting saved in that church. Truly say, I'm not talking about, you know, one, two, three little prayer and you're in. I'm talking about true repentance, amen. A person has to repent of their sins and turn from their sins and ask God's forgiveness of their sins before they can be saved, amen. See, they have to see the need to be saved because of their sin. They have to repent and turn from it, ask for God's forgiveness, and trust in Christ's shed blood to pay for the payment of their sins, amen. The next thing we want to see characteristic of success of any church depends upon the presence and power, amen, of teaching of the Word of God. Notice again in our passage in Acts chapter 11, verses 25 to 26. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And what do? Do they have bellyship? Amen. That they stuff themselves with food? Amen. No. And taught much people? Amen. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So Barnabas and Paul, amen, spent a whole year with the church there in Antioch, and they taught the people the word of God. So the ultimate success of a church depends upon one generation teaching and grounding the next generation in the truths of God's word, amen. See, the purpose of teaching is twofold. First of all, that people might know the truth, amen. That's right, because 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 tells us, and these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So, amen, the purpose of teaching is twofold, that people might know the truth, amen. You're passing on the truth from one generation to the next. The next purpose for teaching is that people might observe. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things. See? Whatsoever I have commanded you, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. So the purpose of teaching is to, so people might know the truth, and to that people might observe, amen. Teaching them to observe all things. Teach them, amen, how to live right, amen. How to do right. How to witness to others. How to lead others to Christ. How to disciple others after they get saved. All of these things, amen, come from the teaching of the Word of God in the local church, amen. No church, my friend, can prosper and be successful in the eyes of God without being dedicated to the teaching of the Word of God. See, a successful church is the well-rounded church, amen. In other words, all the cylinders in the engine are running. All of them are running, not just one. We have one church. We have churches that emphasize one thing: soul winning. Soul winning is very important. Don't get me wrong. But you also have to not only soul win, amen, but teach and preach the Word of God, amen. Yes, you bring people in, they need to be discipled, amen. Because what will happen is, the least little bit of thing happens, people will leave. They won't understand. They haven't been grounded in the Word of God, in the things of God, amen. Now, another characteristic of a successful church, or the success of any church, depends upon the presence and power of the missionary spirit. Someone once said that soul winning and missions is the lifeblood of the New Testament church. And that was certainly a characteristic, the missionary spirit, of the church here. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, we're told, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So we see that Barnabas and Saul were missionaries. They were sent out, amen, by the church there at Antioch, amen. They were separated. God said to separate, the Holy Spirit said separate, amen. Paul and Barnabas, they're going to be your missionaries, amen. And they sent them out. And we know they were church planters, amen. Especially Paul, amen. He planted churches in most of the main cities there and the known countries there at the time. Now, a church who will support missionaries with prayers, which are important, and offerings will be blessed of God. A church that is not missionary in spirit and practice cannot claim to be a successful church. Amen. See, Paul reminds us, you know, oftentimes as Christians, we love to quote that verse that's found in Philippians 4. And I want to read it to you. And you'll probably recognize it right away. It says, in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But let's see what went before there. Paul talks about the church at Philippi in their giving. He says in verse 14 of Philippians 4, notwithstanding you have well done and you did communicate with my afflictions. Not only communication doesn't only mean, you know, speech or talking. You can communicate with someone by giving them something. And what Paul's saying is they ministered to him through giving of their financial resources. He goes on to say, and now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He's reminding them, you know, that they were the only church when he began his ministry, amen, and he departed Macedonia, no church communicated, no church supported him, except the church of Philippi. And he goes on, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again under my necessity. In other words, they sent twice. When he was in Thessalonica, they sent him offerings. Amen. They ministered to him. And then he goes on, not because I desire a gift. He says, I'm not going on about this, folks, Philippians, because I desire your gift, your offerings, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He wants them to be blessed. Because they gave to Paul, because they support missions, he desires that they be blessed, that they have fruit to their account. See? And that's exactly what happens. When you support missions, you put up, you bank up in your account in heaven, amen. He says in verse 18, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So the point I'm trying to make is that verse, that God, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, is dependent upon you meeting the needs of others, amen. So a church that is not missionary in spirit and practice cannot claim to be a successful church, amen? Another characteristic, amen, for a church to be successful is a church must be a giving church, amen, which ties in with missions, amen. We read in our passage in Acts 11, verses 29 to 30, it says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt, amen, in Judea. They determined. They said, okay, this is what we're going to do. They set out to do it, and they did it. We're going to give them this amount, and they did it. Amen. And they sent it to them. It says in verse 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. They gave the love offering. They took up the love offering. They determined it. They probably took a special offering at the service, and they whatever they collected, amen, and they gave it to Paul and Saul and Barnabas to give to the elders of the church at Judea. See, God's work is to be supported by the offerings of God's people, not by the unsaved, not by, you know, rummage sales and bake sales and craft fairs and all of this thing. No, God's work is to be supported by the offerings of God's people. That's a principle set out in the Word of God. We see that the Word of God tells us that God loves, amen, a cheerful giver. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, what it has to say about giving. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. See, my friends, what you get back is determined by what you give out. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. See, my friends, one can never outgive Almighty God. Remember what it said in John 3:16? He gave his only begotten Son. Amen? He gave. We can never outgive God. We can never match God's giving in his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. See? Because God gave his Son to die for us, to shed his precious blood, we have the greatest gift of all time. Eternal life. Salvation. Amen. Some of you should be ashamed of yourselves. Amen. Some of you are nothing but cheapskates for Jesus. Amen. Shame on you. Another a characteristic of a successful church is a church cannot be successful unless the church is Christ-like. We read in Acts 11, verse 26, and disciples were first called Christians, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christian means Christ-like. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He said, Corinthians, follow me as I follow Christ's example. Amen. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. So in everything, we should follow Christ. A church cannot be successful unless it is Christ-like, unless it follows the example that Christ has left. We're to follow his steps, amen, in everything, and how we live our lives, in our giving, our treatment of other people, amen, our sacrifices, you name it. He left the example to follow, and he's the one that we need to follow, amen. A church, amen, that is Christ-like, its members should be displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 in verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So, if a church is Christ-like, its members should be displaying those nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. A church that is Christ-like, its members, according to Titus chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, should be denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, and should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's what a church that is Christ-like, its members, individual members, will be denying ungodliness and worldly lusts and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And we're looking for the blessed hope, the soon return of our Jesus Christ, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the last characteristic of a successful church is a church cannot be successful unless there's faithfulness. Amen. In Acts 11, verse 23, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas encouraged the people of Antioch to make up their minds to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Master. You see, the church is God's steward. A steward is a steward's, amen, we are to take care of what belongs to God until he returns for us. And the Bible tells us that the steward is to have one basic characteristic that outshines them all. And Paul tells us what this is, what this characteristic of a good steward is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he writes, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A church, amen, its members should be faithful in attendance, should be faithful in their prayer life and Bible study and living for God and witnessing for God, and be faithful to their pastor, encouraging him, supporting him, financially, spiritually, lifting him up in prayer daily. Amen. I pray that God help us, amen, through his power to have a successful church. I pray the church that you attend, amen, will be a successful church according to God's plan and his word. I pray the church that I pastor here in Newton, Massachusetts, the Evangelical Baptist Church, amen, would be a successful church, amen, according to God's plan. And again, we saw that doesn't mean great numbers and so forth and so on. No, it's how you're following the plan that God has laid out. And we have seen in our study today, according to the Word of God, to be a successful church, we must, first of all, depend upon the presence and power of God. Second of all, depend upon the presence and power of the Word of God. Third, depend upon the presence and power of the teaching of the Word of God. Fourth, depend upon the presence and power of the missionary spirit. Five, be a giving church. Six, be a Christ-like church, following the example that Christ has left us. And then seventh, be faithful to the things of God. I hope this study has been a help and a blessing to you, each one of you listening today. If there's ever anything that I can do for you, please contact me. Amen. The address of the pastor's study and where you can reach me will be given at the end of this broadcast. And that's all the time that we have today. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me, Brother Gino, joining me for the pastor's study today. Until we meet again on the pastor's study, my prayer for each and every one of you is that God would richly bless you, and good day.